Diocese of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and today is July the 16th, 2023, and our friend Ed Short is not with us today. He's actually on a little vacation visiting some family, so he'll be back with us here very soon, and we're going to be continuing that study of Romans that we've been doing when he gets back. So this evening, what we're going to do is after I give you a little information here and we open with a word of prayer, we're going to listen to a sermon that I gave back in May, and it's entitled The Day of the Lord Will Come. And I really hope you find it informative and encouraging. But just to do a little business here, we'll just tell you a little bit about Prophecies of Hope. Prophecies of Hope is an independent ministry located in Stanton, Virginia. We're actually at 1743 West Beverly Street. So if you're ever in the area, we would love to have you come and visit and spend a little time with us. We meet every Saturday morning, which is the biblical Sabbath. We meet at 9:30 for Sabbath school, which is very much a Bible study. It's an interactive Bible study. We also stream that live at prophecyhope.com. And also at 11 o'clock on Sabbath or Saturday mornings, we have a worship service, and you're welcome to join us for that as well. Also, we have a midweek Bible study on Wednesday nights. And on Wednesdays, that's at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. All these times are Eastern Time. I always kind of forget to say that. But we have that Bible study every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And that is actually a prayer meeting and a Bible study. We do that via Zoom. So if you'd like to contact us, you can contact me at mark@prophecyhope.com, and I will send you that link if you'd like to join us. Also, you can reach Ed at ed@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can email a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. Don't forget about Rick Tyler also. He's still with us. He's just been very busy. He has a lot going on, and you can reach him at rick@prophecyhope.com. Also, I'd like to take a moment just to thank Ray Powers for all that he does for us, keeping us here on New Visions Radio. We've been here every Sunday for many years, and we're here each Sunday at 7 p.m., and you can catch us here every week. And if we're not in the studio, then Ray puts us on the air. He'll run one, maybe a program that we've run in the past. So that's a little bit about this ministry and what we do. We do each fall, every year in the fall, we have a Bible series. And sometimes we do Bible prophecy, sometimes we do current events. And this year, we're going to be looking into Bible prophecy and what the future holds according to the Bible. Now, many Christians understand a lot of different topics in this regard, but we're going to be touching on some issues as, for example, the Antichrist power, the mark of the beast, Islam and Bible prophecy. These are some interesting topics that a lot of Christians really haven't looked into, and quite a number of you have. So we would love for you to join us for that. We will be streaming that live at Prophecy on prophecyhope.com, which is our website, and that will be this September 2023, and that will be the 20th through the 23rd. So hopefully you'll be able to join us for that. So enough about the ministry. And what we'll do is we will get started with a word of prayer, and then we'll start this sermon. So let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be here this evening. We thank you for every gift you give us. We thank you for this technology to be able to transmit and broadcast Bible truth over the airwaves, that we can just open your word and see the truth written right in the page. And Father, we just ask for your spirit to be with us as we listen to this sermon. May we be encouraged, and Father, may we not be deceived, but may we be encouraged to open our Bibles and learn more about you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and the plan of salvation. So we ask again for your Spirit, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, what we're going to do is we'll listen to this sermon, and then after the sermon, we will come back for just a closing remark or two and a closing prayer. And the name of this sermon is The Day of the Lord Will Come. I hope you enjoy it. If you knew today was the last day you had to live, what would you do? Have you ever really thought about that?
Today's your last day. You're told this is it. This will be the last day that you're going to live. What would you do with that time? Well, why would I ask that? Well, you know, some of us have been put in positions where we may have been told that you might not make it to the next day. A lot of people, when they get diseases in this world, they're told you only have X amount of time to live. They're given a time limit. Well, you know, in this world that we live in, we're all given a time limit. And we don't know when that time will expire. It's different for each one of us. And because time and unforeseen events befall all men, something can happen to change our life in a split second. So what does your walk with the Lord look like? This is what I want you to think about as we go through the sermon today. What does your relationship with the Lord look like today? What does it look like right now, right at this moment? If he were to appear in those clouds right now during this sermon, do you feel confident that you're going with him? Or are you going to be one of the ones that are slain by the brightness of his coming? This is serious. And the more time goes on, the longer this world continues, I get questions constantly. Do you think the end's coming? When do you think it's going to be? And, you know, I have lived long enough that I grew up in a place where they were predicting, the church that I grew up in had predicted that the end of this world was going to come at a specific time. This was in my lifetime, during my lifetime. And I remember that time coming and going. And I watched the church membership shrink. It was cut in half. The church membership was cut in half as a result of, well, the Lord didn't come the day I thought he was coming. I'm done with that. That's what some people did. They washed their hands of it. But I know many of you have heard me say this over and over. I ask my dad about that. What's going on? Why are all of my friends, all of my kid friends, you know, I was a kid. I was 9, 10 years old at the time. And when that day came and went, and here we are, the church is shrinking. A lot of my friends had moved away or stopped coming to church. I wanted to know what was going on. And my dad says, well, you know, sometimes people serve God with a specific thing that they have in mind to occur. Or maybe with a date in mind. But my advice to you, he said, is to live your life like the end of the world is coming today, but you plan your life like you're going to die an old man in this world. That's what he told me. And, you know, those words ring in my mind every day of my life. I think about that. Literally, you might think, not every day. I was talking to Sister Lori and Brother Rick. They hate absolutes. But I think about it every day of my life. Live your life like Jesus is coming today, but plan your life like you're going to die in this world. You know, I've had people send me videos, I've had them send me emails, I've had them anticipate when is the end coming. There was a man who predicted the end several years ago. Somebody just recently sent me something that had predicted it for, they sent it to me over a year ago. But it was supposed to come sometime in November of last year. We're still here. The Lord hasn't come yet. I got something just a few days ago. I mean, it's a regular occurring thing. And people, what do you think? What do you think? Well, you know what I think? I think what this says. This is all I can think because this is all I know. I don't know any more than what this book is telling me about the coming of the Lord. That's all I can know. We can anticipate it. In fact, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 24, because this is typically the text that we would go to, and this is the one that I've spoken on many times in the past, but I just want to lay down just a little bit of what was going on here. Jesus is actually going to talk about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, but he's also pointing to the time of the end. And we know this by the context of what's taken place here. And the question that comes up, look at verse 3, Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" It was on their minds. That's what's on the minds of people today. And if it's not on your mind, maybe it should be on your mind. It's the truth. If it's not on your mind, why not? Especially if you are a believer in Christ Jesus. If it's not on your mind, why not? This was on the disciples' mind. Nearly 2,000 years ago, what's going to be the sign? How are we going to know? What do we look for? And Jesus starts his opening words, verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." When you start off, if you're giving a sermon and you start off with that, you better pay attention, especially when it's the Son of God talking, right? Take heed that no one deceives you. Then he goes on, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." And he espouses what's going to happen. What's it going to look like? Now, I wasn't going to spend much time here in Matthew 24, but I wanted to lay that down. Jesus realizes, he knew that there would be many people that would try to deceive people into thinking that something was going to occur, and that it would occur in a particular manner that wasn't in line with what God's word says. So when we're talking about this topic, we need to take heed that no one deceives you. That includes me. Don't let me deceive you. If it doesn't come from the word of God, disregard it. That goes for anybody who is teaching or preaching. He talks about false prophets, deception. He mentions deception a number of times. But where we're going to focus our attention today is in Mark chapter 13. It's the parallel account. And I think sometimes this one's ignored a little bit, but it gives a couple of little things that, you know, these Bible writers that God inspired to write these things had their own personality, and sometimes their personality comes through in their writing. So Mark chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 3. Mark 13. Actually, we'll just start in verse 1. Let's just start there. We'll read the whole chapter. It says here, "Then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, 'Teacher, we see what manner of stones... Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" So he's telling them that this building is going to be completely destroyed. Isn't that what this says? Verse 3. "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?'" Now, it's interesting that in Matthew records, what did he say? He recorded, "What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Then the King James says, "The end of the world." So Jesus here is not only talking about the fulfillment of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD that was imminent, it was coming close, it was going to be near, about not quite 40 years after this. But he's also speaking about the end of the world. And how can we know that? Well, let's read the chapter and we'll see how we know that. And it says there, verse 5, "And Jesus answered them." What did he say? Boy, Mark records this exactly as Matthew did. "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." Did you know that just the other day there was a 2.2 earthquake in White Plains, New York, the day before yesterday? And people were talking about that. Well, what's funny is that happens on a regular basis, but why are people talking about it? Sometimes we're anticipating something so much that we start emphasizing and looking at the end result rather than just dealing with where we are today. We keep looking so much to the future that we don't see where we are now. We have work to finish. There's things that need to be done. People need to hear this message. They need the gospel in order to be able to be ready and in order that no one will deceive them. Make the best of the time we have. Remember the question I asked. If you were told today that you had one day to live, that this was your last day, what would you do with that time? What would you do? Would you go try to find the tallest roller coaster? You see, so many people, they think for themselves, oh, I would go and skydive and I'd do all these different things. You know, get your affairs in order. What are your priorities? Is it having a good time? We all like to have I love having a good time. Anybody that knows me knows that I like to have a good time. But what are our priorities? You know what having a good time is to me? It's not what it was 30 years ago. Having a good time to me now is doing what we're doing right here. I'm having a good time. When we're in Sabbath school, when we're downstairs in fellowship, when we're studying the Bible, when we have the Bibles up, when we're singing songs together, that's a good time. And it's all about giving glory to God and His Son. That's a good time. So, if you had one day to live, think about that as we go through this. We read verse 8, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and you will hear of earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are, what? The beginning of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues, and you will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. So Jesus is warning them at that time that they would very likely be persecuted because of belief in Jesus Christ, because they were professing the gospel, because of what they believe. Verse 10, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. For whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? That Christ will give us the words. That God through His Son will give us the words to speak. I trust that. You can't trust that if you don't know what the words are. You have to know what's in here in order to be able to trust that I'm going to know what to say when the timing's right. And I will tell you that everybody who studies and reads the Word of God at some point in their ministry, and I'm going to say it, everybody at some point in their ministry will be witnessing to someone and they'll speak something and they'll look back and say, where did that come from? What made me say that? It's not what, it's who. Who made me say that? You see, you knew what to say at the right time. Because you knew what the Word of God said. In order to know what the Word of God says, you have to hear the Word. You have to be in tune with the Word. And the Word is Christ. So verse 12. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This is Jesus' name. Because of Jesus' name, you will be hated. Do we see that today? Look at what's going on. Watch and see what's happening in the world today. The ways of Jesus are just becoming so obsolete that nobody knows the difference between right and wrong. It says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. To the end of what? The end of the world? The end of the age? The end of your life? If you had one day to live, what would you do with that day? You see, he who endures to the end. We always look at that and say, to the end of the world. No, you have to endure to the end of your life, whenever that may be. In this world, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but if he comes in our lifetime, it's my plan that if he comes in those clouds today, that I won't see death. That's my plan. Why do I say that? And people think, wow, how can he say that? I'm not being obnoxious about it. I have a relationship with Jesus, and I feel confident because of that relationship, because I'm living up the best I can to what this says, that he knows who I am, and he'll take me with him when he comes back. Do you have that confidence? And if not, why not? And if not, why not make the decision today to say, you know, I want that confidence. You can have that confidence. And that confidence comes because Christ can dwell in you and help you to have that confidence and give you the peace of mind. Notice verse 14. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, I grew up in a background where we were taught, and this very well could be, that there might come a time that you have to leave your home for the sake of the Lord. And I believe that's what Jesus is saying. Of course, we know that when this particular thing, the abomination of desolation, I'm thinking about doing a sermon on that in the future. It's an interesting topic, and there's a lot of different thoughts on that from many different backgrounds, but we would look at it from a biblical perspective. It's mentioned a number of times in Scripture, and you'll find that Jesus is pointing back to Daniel the prophet, speaking about this thing. But when we think about these things, it says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. He was speaking about those there, of course, at that time, but he's also speaking of the end times. And it's amazing to me that if you know the history of what took place then, that Jerusalem was surrounded by the armies, and the armies pulled back and allowed the people a chance to escape. Now, there's no reason as to why. We don't know that they were allowing it, but somehow, miraculously, they pulled back and gave people an escape. God always has his hands on his people. Don't ever forget that. Notice verse 15. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. So what's that saying? It can come in an instant. You know, we look at how fast things are moving today, how fast-paced everything is. There are yet a few things in my understanding of Scripture that must take place before Jesus can come. But they can happen so quickly. They could literally happen overnight. They can literally happen overnight. I've used this illustration so many times in the past since 2020. If you remember in 2020, you had to put ropes in between the pews so that people couldn't sit next to one another. They were controlling what took place in a church, and the state is not supposed to have say over that. And if you would have told me a year before that that was going to happen, I would have probably laughed. And I thought, well, that's going to maybe eventually, but not that quick. But it happened overnight. Verse 16, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Verse 17, but woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter, for in those days there will be tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. This is speaking, of course, of the end times. It says, and unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. So it shows that he has a people, he has chosen people, that he's shortening the days for them. But he also has people that are yet saved, that he wants to save, and it's our responsibility to get to them, to preach these things to them, so that they too can be with him. Verse 21, Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it. I got an email a month ago of this guy that says, I'm the Messiah. You know what I did? Delete. It's exactly what I did. Do you think I'm going to, I'm the Messiah, read this message? Are you kidding me? I don't even want to read it. What's he say here? If anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders. It says great in Matthew, but it says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You may see miracles occurring. You may see things that you say, wow, that guy just did something miraculous. I've never seen it. He must have the Spirit of God. What's Jesus saying? It's not. If it's not according to the Word of God, it's not from God. If it's according to the Word of God, then it's from God. And I'm not saying that miraculous things don't happen today. But if somebody's claiming to be the Messiah and they're doing miracles, when Christ comes back, his feet don't touch the ground. We're caught up to meet him in the air. So don't be deceived. If anybody says, well, he came back invisibly and he's here invisibly. No, Christ says, I dwell in you, in your heart, in the individual. He changes us from inside. Verse 23, but take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. Verse 24, but in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. It doesn't say he's on the earth. He says, if they're telling you there that he's here, don't believe it. What's it say? He's coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels to gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. So there's a gathering work. And then he gives this parable of the fig tree. Let's just read it. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, what things? The things that he's just told you about. When you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Some people try to build on the this generation thing. Well, which generation is it? You know, does it matter? If you're focused on Jesus Christ and doing his will, it doesn't matter. I'm going to talk more about that next week. But, verse 31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And don't miss this part. Verse 32, but of that day and hour, we can guess and guess and guess. Is that what it says? No. Of that day and hour, just call your pastor and he will tell you. Of that day and hour, it's been broadcast that it's going to be XYZ. No. But people have done this. Why can't they see these words? But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Well, if that's the case, why are people asking, when's the end going to be? Verse 33, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. So what are we to do? What's it mean to take heed? Pay attention. That's what it means. It means pay attention. I wasn't talking to you, Zach. It means pay attention. Take heed, watch and pray. For you do not know when the time is. You see, even when you're told you have a certain amount of time to live, it's the doctor's best guess based on the current health that you have. But we're not guaranteed another minute. not in this world. We have to be ready. We have to be ready now. Don't put it off. I have begged people, don't put it off. But what do? I am not a procrastinator. Anybody that knows me knows that I am not a procrastinator. I can't stand to have things left undone or unfinished. It just drives me crazy. And my being that way can sometimes drive people around me crazy. Don't procrastinate. This is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Make a decision today. Make a decision for Jesus now. Notice what he says again, verse 33. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Watch. Be ready. You ever hear the saying, a watched pot never boils? It's not true. It seems like it. Do you know why? Because my focus is on that water. And I'm wondering, when's it? I'm just watching, I'm watching. And it just seems to take forever. You know, if you think that the Lord tarries, maybe, just maybe, it's because you're not busy doing his work. You ever think of that? When you're at work, if most of us who have regular jobs and we go in, for those who are retired, you'll have to think back to those days maybe. But you go to work, and if it's a slow day, what happens? If it just drags on, and it's like, when is this day going to end? It just keeps on and on and on. Why? Because you're focused on 5 o'clock. You're focused on quitting time. You're focused on, there's just nothing happening. But if you get busy doing things, if you say, you know what, while I'm here, I think I'll go over here and take care of this little task. Nobody else is doing it. I might as well do it. What happens? The time just zips by. I remember when Brother Ed, during the pandemic, when he was working, you did all kinds of things in the machine shop that needed to be done, and all kinds of projects. And he said it just made the time pass by, because otherwise he was just sitting around waiting for the patients to come in. It passes the time. When you're preaching the gospel, that time goes so quick. You know, people say, why do you get up in front of it? You're so long-winded. Because when I'm up here, the time's going so fast, I don't know where it went. Because why? Because I'm excited. I want people to hear this message. This is a life-saving message. Not because I'm giving it, because the Bible, this is where it comes from. It's the Word of God. It will save your life. That's what our billboard says. Read this book. It will change your life forever. That's what our billboard says. And it's so true. It's so true. Let's take a look at another text. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, there's a lot more that can be said about this here in Mark chapter 13. 2 Peter chapter 3. And Brother Ed read part of this for the scripture reading this morning. And I wanted to go here because it goes right along with it. But I can't state this enough, friends. When we look here and he says, the master of the house is coming at a time you do not know. Stop trying to guess. You know, like he says, when you look out at the fig tree and you see the leaves, you know what the season is. We know that time is short for this world, but we don't know if it's going to come in our lifetime or not. And frankly, I'll be honest, while I would like to see it, I would love to see the end of this world and how things culminate, it really doesn't matter. As long as I'm asleep in Jesus, that's what matters. That's what matters. So 2 Peter chapter 3. And you know, it's so comforting to be able to say that, because growing up in the background I grew up in, I never felt assured. I was never assured. I was always, I don't know, I hope so. And it was always that trepidation of, I might not be in the resurrection if something happens to me. But after my life's experience and the Bible study that I've done and the experience that I had several years ago, I have peace like I've never felt. I want you to experience that peace. I want everybody around me to experience that, because so many people are afraid. They're scared to death of death. Do I want to die? No, I've got some things I would like to do. But if I do die, I'm not scared of it, because I feel confident that my next conscious thought will be the Lord coming in the air. I'll be caught up in the clouds to meet him. And if he comes in your lifetime and I'm not here, I'll see you when you come up. It's a beautiful thing. When Christ comes, the resurrection occurs, and then those who are alive will be caught up. What a reunion, huh? I don't know. It's very real to me. And I hope it sounds real to you, because it is real. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm just going to start here. I'm just going to begin in verse 1. It says, "Beloved, I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water.'" Oh. So there was a destruction, a time of destruction. A time of the end, we could call it, in a small sense. Verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Time goes by quickly for God, because he's eternal. And not only that, but he's busy. He has billions of people on this earth, and he cares for each one of them, and there are many who are petitioning him every day. He's busy, so time moves quickly for him. He's busy. Verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us." I love this part. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Repentance. Repentance. I was telling Ed this morning, I was talking with a fellow that I work with, Andrew, and we've become really good friends, and we were working together the other night, and someone texted me something, and I shared it with Andrew, and he says, "It's interesting how people, they ask certain questions," he says, "and it seems to me that when people in the world are living a certain way," I'm trying to think of exactly I remember how he said it. He says, "It seems like what they're doing is they want a timeline. They want a timeline so that they can say, 'Okay, now I'm going to start doing the will of God.'" In other words, if I would have had time in the past to do other things, if I would have known the Lord was going to delay this long, I would have probably carried on a little more. Somebody has told me that. And he says they don't want to live the life now. That's why I asked the question, if you had one day to live, what would you do? Well, some people would say, "Well, I want to get right with the Lord so I'm in the kingdom." Well, let me suggest, let's get right with the Lord now, because this might be your last day. We just got to look at it realistically. We have to be honest. If you go to an investor and they're forecasting the kind of money you're going to make, you're going to want that forecaster to tell you the truth and say, "Look, you can lose all of this." And so I'm simply trying to tell you the truth. Your last day could be today. And I'm not saying that Jesus is coming in the clouds today. I'm saying it could be your last moment. We don't know. If you had one day to live, what would you do with that? So, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's why you have to be ready. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The earth will always be, but the elements will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things, this world around us, all of these worldly things that we see will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Think about what this is saying. It comes as a thief. It comes quickly. Don't let it catch you off guard. Don't let it catch you off guard. If you know that a thief is coming to your house, if you had warning, wouldn't you try to be ready at all times? Well, we're told, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And it will come. It's not if, it's when. Verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. Are you looking forward to it? So many people tell me they are. But then when you talk to them a little bit about their lives, it's like, well, I'm not sure if I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it. But, it's always a but, isn't it? The only reason I don't want it to come today is not for my sake. It's for the sake of those people that I love and care about, that I want to be with me. But God's timing is perfect. And when Christ comes back, if there are those that aren't in the kingdom with us, it's because their choice was to not be there. It was their choice. If you are not there, it's because your choice chose worldly things rather than godly things. Time is short, whether we're talking about in this world, but the candle, as far as I'm concerned, I'm on the short end. And just think, my parents are still alive. The wick is very small. If your parents are alive, if you know people that are older than you, encourage them to know Jesus. If you know people that are younger than you, encourage them to know Jesus. We all need it. We all need it. Verse 14, look at it again. 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot and blameless, that sounds impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. Peter was saying, Paul's hard to read. You don't understand some of what he says. And it's humorous. It's humorous, but it's true, because Paul had such an appreciation. He had such an understanding of the gospel. And when he spoke these things, it was coming from the heart. It was overflowing from all the things he knew from the temple service. And he recognized what the new covenant was. And so many people didn't understand. Why? Because they weren't familiar with the word, or they hadn't studied enough to know. Everybody wants it, and they want it now. But see what it says, verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. Well, I see this on a daily basis. Every day, there's another absolute, but it's so true. Every day, I find that someone takes the scripture and they twist it to their own liking. Well, that's okay. I'll just continue to live the way I am because when Jesus comes back, he's going to change me. No, he wants to change you today so that you can be in the presence of his Father. Otherwise, we're doomed. That's why it says right up here in verse 14, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him by peace, because when he comes back, he's going to change me? No, without spot and blameless. I have to be changed now. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, this is speaking to all of us, you know this beforehand. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. What's he saying? Don't be led around by false preachers, by false teachers, by thinking about things that aren't here, by twisting the scriptures to your own liking, by listening to videos and newspaper articles and YouTube stuff and stuff on the news that's telling us things that are contrary to what the Bible says. And when pastors and preachers start looking and picking numbers and picking dates and doing these things, run away. Remember Jesus' words. No man knows the day or the hour, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father only. The Father knows. That should be good enough. That's all I need to know. God knows when it is. As long as I'm ready. As long as you're ready. Look at this closing text here. Luke 12:40. Therefore, on the PowerPoint, therefore you also, take your time, don't worry about getting ready. No, it says, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That's pretty clear. Are you ready? I've told this story before. This is a good time to tell it again. When I was a kid, my dad would give me chores to do around the house, and they were typically to be done before he got home. He'd say, this is what I want you to do. Taught me a lot of responsibility. It was really good for me. I hated doing some of those things, but you do them, right? It allows you to be able to sit down a little easier when he gets home if you do what he says. But he had called the house, and it was, I don't know what day of the week it was. It was one day during the week, and he asked me, he says, did you mow the grass yet? I hadn't mowed the grass yet. But I, in my mind, I thought, I'll have it done before he gets here. So I said, yep, grass is mowed. I can laugh about it now. But you know what happened? That was in the morning. That was a late morning. It was almost lunchtime. And a little later on that day, about an hour later, I go out and I get on the mower. We had a riding mower. And I'm breezing around the yard. And I liked it. It was pretty fast. And I had it in a high gear. And I was just having a good time. And all of a sudden, I see my dad's truck pull in the driveway. Not a good feeling. My heart started pounding. The grass wasn't mowed. Not only did I lie to him, I lied to him. I told him, yeah, it's done. But the task wasn't even, I hadn't even started. If I had started on it, I mean, still, I shouldn't have told him I did it if I didn't. Are we honest with ourselves about our relationship with Christ? I wasn't honest with my dad, and I got punished for that. I deserved it. In this world, there's no accountability. Oh, he didn't deserve that. Well, this is telling us, be ready. You see, I tell that story because it had a big impact on me. And, you know, my dad, I never got punished. He never punished me when he was angry. He would always talk to me in a normal way. And he would ask me, do you understand why this is happening? Friends, do you understand what's going on? It's laid out right here. Everything is laid out. You know, again, the watch pot never boils. It does. It does boil. If you're waiting for somebody to come to see you and you're standing there and you're watching and you're waiting and you're waiting, it just seems to take forever. But if you're busy doing things and paying attention, that time will pass by. If you're getting others ready for the visitor that's coming, you see, isn't that what we should be doing? Getting people ready for the coming of Christ. We need to be busy. We don't want to be distracted. This world distracts us in so many ways. It's just unbelievable how many things pull us in so many different directions. And the closer we get to the end of my life in this world, as we get older, it seems like the more distractions there are. I put a note in my outline here, and I'm just looking to see what that was. Yes, Mark 13:33 says, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." Read here in Luke 12:40. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So let's quit trying to predict when Jesus is coming. Let's quit paying attention to all these things, because I guarantee you, if we start looking, we can find dozens and dozens and dozens of people who have, well, he's going to come at this time, or this prophecy says that timeline, or this, and they'll have a date. They'll have a day. We know the season. When you see the fig tree, you'll know what the season is, right? And I will say that my leaves are changing. You know what I mean when I say that? If I let my hair grow, it's gray right here. My leaves are changing. I know what season it is. Am I ready? Are you ready? This is a question we have to ask ourselves. Are you ready? Are you ready? People want to play, and they say, what I will do is I'll just be an 11th hour Christian. In other words, I live my life the way I want to live it, and at the last minute, I'll be like the thief on the cross, and I'll repent, and all will be well. Well, if you think that's going to work out for you, it's probably not going to work out very well. Because first of all, Christ knows what's in the heart. And he knew what was in the heart of that thief that was next to him. And he knew that that thief meant what he said. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He had faith. And think about that person that said, if I would have known, I feel sorry for them. If I would have known that I was going to live this long, and that Jesus wouldn't have come, I would have carried on more. Well, what's that say? You know, when I look back on my life and I look at the stupid things that I did, I wish I had never done them. I don't wish I had done them longer. I wish I had never been involved in those things. And if we're thinking, you know, if I would have known, I would have stayed a little longer. You need some prayer. You need to pray about that. And I just hope that this makes you think a little bit. If today were your last day, if you knew that it was your last day, what would you do? The saying about it, there's no atheist in a foxhole. You know, people's beliefs change when they're put on the spot and when they know their life is ending. But it's so relaxing and comforting to say, if something happens right now, I'm good with that. I hope that each and every one of you that are listening to this can, if you can't say it now, that you will come to know Jesus so that you will be able to say that, so that you can have the confidence, so that you know that he will be the author and finisher of your faith. If you feel like I lack this, ask him. Help me not to lack what I need. Give me what I need. Give me oil in my lamp. Right? Pour out your Spirit on me so that I can become more like your Son and be in the kingdom with you. Because the Lord is coming. It's not the day of the Lord may come. It's the day of the Lord will come. When? It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Just be ready. Get your affairs in order. When you know you're coming close to the end of your life, what do? Most people get a will together. Well, the will that I want is the will of God. And I want that done in my life. And my prayer is that you will think about these things and really recognize that if there are changes that you have to make, and we all have those changes to make, there are things I need to work on, and I'm praying about it. But I'm confident that Jesus will help me get over those things. I'm confident. And as long as I keep moving forward in my walk and pushing the world away and all of the distractions away and focusing on Jesus Christ, I'm confident that I will be ready and that you can be ready on the day that the Lord comes.
Well, friends, I hope you enjoyed that sermon, and I hope it was encouraging to you, and I hope that you'll come back and visit us next week at 7 p.m. here on New Visions Radio. Unfortunately, this is all the time we have, so we must close with a word of prayer. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we ask that you will help to prepare our hearts for the day that Jesus returns. Father, please help us to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may accept the plan of salvation. And Father, help us to be able to share the gospel with as many as possible. Please be with us until we come together again. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, once again, I want to thank you for being here, and we hope you'll tune in next Sunday, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.